Sunday the 5th of September 2021, David Williamson, Gospel, Ballymena Gospel Hall.
Well, good afternoon. It's a great privilege to be with you here this afternoon in Ballymena. And we trust the Lord will bless our time together as we open his word and share the message of the gospel with you. Now, just before I commence, just to announce that next week, in the will of God, Mr. Ivan McLean will be along to preach the gospel at the same time here. And you'll be made very welcome if you can come back to attend that meeting. So glad to see everyone who's here this afternoon. We trust the Lord will bless you. It's wonderful that the gospel can be sounded out continually during periods such as this. And if you're here and presently you are not saved, we want to encourage you. The Lord is available to you. His ear is open to hear your cry, and his arm is able to reach you just at this present moment. And so we would encourage you to listen carefully to the gospel and to trust the Savior even this afternoon. Now I'm going to pray for the Lord's blessing upon his word. Our Father, we are grateful to be out another time making known the message of the gospel here. And we are glad, as we have said, to see the number of people who are gathered to hear thy word. We would ask thee, our God, that thou wouldst help us to proclaim the message with clarity and simplicity. And we would pray for those that have gathered. We pray that there might be among them some who are sincerely interested in knowing the way of salvation. And we do pray that even today, as thy word is spoken forth here, that someone would recognize their need of the Savior and discover that the Lord Jesus is all that they do need, and trust him and enter into eternal blessing even this afternoon. We commit ourselves into thy care. We pray for the gospel as it is being preached throughout our land in all different ways and in all different places. And we pray that Christ might be magnified and that souls would be saved as the gospel is proclaimed. We commit ourselves now into thy care for thy help and blessing in the Lord's precious name. Amen. Now, it is a delight for me to be here, and I want to read to you a verse from the Gospel of John and chapter 3. The Gospel of John and chapter 3. And we're going to read the last verse in this chapter. For some, it will be a familiar verse, perhaps not for all, but John chapter 3 and verse number 36. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now that's our reading, and we trust the Lord to bless it to us. I have often read this little verse, and almost every time that I read it, I say to myself, how kind God is. You might wonder why that thought would cross my mind as I read this verse, and the answer is simply this. As I read this verse, I am reminded that God has made the way of salvation simple and clear and plain and easy to be understood by everyone. He is the God who truly desires that all people should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so he has presented his way of salvation. I think in this verse, there are 28 words. And in those 28 words, there is conveyed in great simplicity the way for a person to be saved and to be sure that they have eternal life. I'll read the verse to you again just to show how simple and clear it is. It says, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him." So what I want to do is just to consider this verse in its simplicity and to take a few very simple thoughts out of it, which hopefully will help you to see how simple is God's way of salvation. The first thing I want us to notice is the contrast in the verse. You know, someone has said that contrast is the mother of clarity. In other words, if we want to explain something to someone, we don't just explain to them what it is, but we explain to them what it is not. And the reason we do that is to give greater clarity in the person's mind as to the way of salvation, as far as this verse is concerned. And as we read down the verse, you'll notice the contrast in the verse very simply. It says, "He that believes on the Son hath everlasting life." Now that's a simple, positive explanation of salvation. The person who believes, who depends upon the Son of God, has everlasting life. That's simple, that's clear, that's plain. But just to confirm and just to make extra clear, there's a contrast which is made. "And he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him." And because this contrast is drawn, we can see very clearly where the point is at which a person passes from not being saved to being saved. And it is the point at which a person believes on the Son of God. You know, I remember some time ago speaking to a young lad in Ballymena, actually, just sharing the message of the gospel with him. And he said to me, "You know, I'm not a Christian, but I think I used to be one, but I don't think I am at present." And I said, "Well," I said, "now, can I ask you, if you were to die just now, where do you think you'd go?" Well, he says, "I'd be in hell." I said, "Well, why do you think you'd be in hell?" He says, "I'd be in hell because of my sins." I said, "Well, that's clear." I said, "You see, when you used to think that you were a Christian, I said, if you died then, where would you go?" He says, "Well, I'd have gone to heaven." And I said, "Well, why would you have gone to heaven?" He says, "Well, I was driving the church bus." I said, "You were driving the church bus?" He said, "Yes, I was really involved in the church, and I was driving the church bus." And I said, "And that's why you think that you were going to be in heaven." Now, you see, if that person was to explain to me the way of salvation as he saw it, it would go something like this. The person who drives the church bus has everlasting life. And the person who doesn't drive the church bus shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Because in his mind, the fact that he was driving the church bus in some way guaranteed to him a place in heaven. Now, that's not God's way of salvation. God's way of salvation is clearly articulated in the contrast drawn in the verse that we are reading. And it says this: "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him." To put it very simply, the person who is depending only and entirely upon Christ for their soul salvation is guaranteed heaven. And the person who is not, no matter what other blessings he has, or no matter what other activities he's engaged in, the person who is not trusting the Son of God is guaranteed hell. So there is a contrast, and it brings great clarity into our mind. Another thing to do with the verse is that we can see that there is a core to God's message of salvation. It says, "He that believes on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him." And what we're discovering is this, that what makes the distinction is whether a person believes or does not believe on the Son of God. You might say, well, why is that the case? I mean, that seems a little bit unfair, just that we're presented with the Son of God and we have to make a decision about the Son of God, and that will determine our eternal destiny. Well, there are a number of reasons why it all surrounds the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first reason is this, that the Son of God was sent into this world to be the Savior. The Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now notice that verse that we've quoted there. It doesn't say the Father sent the Son to be a Savior, as if there are many. And it doesn't say that he sent the Son to be a Savior for a select group, as if there were just some that the Savior came to save. It says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You know, I remember speaking to a lady one day some years ago in Ballymoney, and I was trying to present to her the message of the gospel, and she said, it seems very unfair to me. She said, you know, you've all the good Muslims and the good Buddhists and the good Hindus and the good Christians in the world. And what you're saying is this, it's only the good Christians that God receives into heaven. Now, the way she was thinking about it was this. God looked down and he saw good Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and Christians. And he said to himself, I like the good Christians better, and I'll take them into my heaven. And, you know, if you think that way, I would understand that you think the message of the gospel is unfair. But that is not the message presented in the Bible. In fact, the Bible tells us that God looked down from heaven upon humanity, and it says that he saw that there was none good, no, not one. That is, there is not even one good person living across the face of the earth. The Bible puts it another way. There is no difference. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all gone astray. We have all gone out of the way. We have together become unprofitable. And the God who looked down from heaven upon humanity saw sinful people heading towards eternal judgment. And that same God, the Father, sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What's it saying? It's saying that God looked upon the need of all, and he provided a Savior for all. And it's his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has sent to be the Savior. So no matter your background this afternoon, no matter your past, no matter the many sins you have committed, no matter your religious affiliation, the Bible is saying this, there is a Savior available for you. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. There is only one God-appointed Savior for all of humanity. It is the Son of God. That's why he's the core of the message of the gospel. Not only so, but it's not just that he was sent, but the Bible lets us know that he was a sufficient sacrifice. You know, we come to Romans chapter 8 in the Bible, and it tells us that God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. When the Son of God came into this world from heaven, he knew his destiny was to go to the cross to offer a sacrifice for sin. And the Bible says this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Now, what is it saying? It's saying this. Once a person recognizes that they're a sinner in need of salvation, Very often what happens is that they say to themselves, how can I impress God? How can I do something, whether it be sacrificial or whatever it might be, in order to make God look upon me with favor? And they try and think of ways to do things to satisfy God. What the Bible is saying is this, that the Son of God has come into this world, and that what God demanded for sin, the Son of God has offered upon the cross at Calvary in the sacrifice of himself. And this is the only sacrifice that God demands, and it's the only sacrifice that God accepts for sin. You know, in the book of the Hebrews, we read about people, and just to maybe bring it up to date a little so we might understand it, we read about people and they're continually offering sacrifices. As day follows day, they're offering sacrifices. And there's millions of sacrifices being offered. But the Bible says they can't take away sin. So if you can just imagine all of the people in the world wanting to be right with God, and they decide, all of them decide, well, we're going to offer sacrifices. We're going to try in some way to appease God. We're going to try in some way to please God. We're going to try and satisfy God in relation to our sin. And they heap together all the sacrifices that they can make in a massive pile, and they offer it up to God. What the Bible is saying is that would not be sufficient. Take everybody everywhere. That would not be sufficient to pay for one sin. Then it says this, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. It's saying his sacrifice was sufficient. God has accepted it. It's full payment. He cried, it's finished. And God raised him from the dead and set him down at his own right hand in heaven. Now, this is why the Son of God is at the core of the message of the gospel. There is no one else whom God has appointed to save sinners. And there's no one else who's offered a sacrifice that God has accepted for sinners. And there's no one else who's presently able to save sinners. You know, the Bible says that he has been declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. He is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. The one who died upon the cross at Calvary to pay for sin was buried, and the third day God raised him from the dead. He's gone back up into heaven, and at this moment in time, he is capable. He is able to rescue you. He's able to save you. You know, there have been many times over this period that I have wanted to draw quite near to people to speak to them face to face, maybe sit beside them. But there's all kinds of difficulties, as we know, over the last year and a half. Social distancing and all of these different measures. But here's the thing, that there is a person interested in you. He's near to you. He's available to you. He's accessible by you. Social distancing doesn't keep him away. At this very moment, he can save you because he's alive and he's able to save. And the Bible says, he that believes on the Son, the person who trusts in the Son of God, has everlasting life. Why? Because he's the one God appointed to save, and he's the one who has offered the sacrifice that God has accepted for sin. Another thing about the verse which appeals to me is not just its clarity and contrast, and not just the core of it. It's all about the Son of God and what he has done upon the cross for us. But the choice that's clearly presented. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Now, you can see that there is a clear divergence here between two groups. So there's one group who has believed on the Son, who is believing in the Son, and there's another who is not, another group which is not doing so. So there is a choice presented to people. You know, this is not the choice that maybe sometimes people think of when it comes to salvation, because sometimes people think, well, you know, I am going to choose from now on to serve the Lord, to serve the Lord. Now, you'll notice that, that would be a good thing, by the way. To choose to serve the Lord would be a wonderful thing. But really what a person's doing when they say that is that they're going to do something for God. They're going to do something for God. And if I say to myself, I'm going to choose to serve the Lord from now on, and then let's say I fail in my serving of the Lord from now on. Well, if the Bible says, he that serves the Lord, he that serves the Son has everlasting life. If I failed, here's the thing. I would be in constant doubt as to whether I had this everlasting life. That's not what it says. The distinction is around believing on the Son. Now, what does it mean to believe on the Son? I know many of you will have heard people confused and concerned about believing on the Son. What does it mean to believe on the Son? Someone here might be saying, I've believed everything I have heard about him since I was a little child. I have no doubt that he came from heaven into this world. I have no doubt that he died upon the cross for sinners. I have no doubt that he rose again the third day. I'm believing and I'm believing, and yet I don't seem to have everlasting life. I believe everything I hear about the Son of God. Now notice the verse says, he that believes on the Son. He that believes on the Son. You know, I have to go on a flight, God willing, next weekend. And flying doesn't bother me at all. But I remember hearing of a lady who was wanting to fly from here to the United States to visit family. And yet she was really afraid to fly. She had a phobia of flying. And she let this be known. And she was invited up to meet the pilot of the plane that was going to fly. And she met the pilot, and she found him to be a very nice person. And he told her a little bit about his history and how he'd flown so many flights. That very flight he'd flown so many times before. He never crashed a plane. And then she got a little tour of the plane itself, told about the engines and told about the wings and told about the reliability and the history of this particular plane. And you know, she believed everything that she heard about the pilot, and she believed everything that she heard about the plane. Everything. That pilot could take her. He could fly the plane. This plane could carry her. She had no doubt. That's what she'd been told. She believed it. You know, the time came for her to get on board the flight. And she couldn't bring herself to trust the pilot and the plane. She just couldn't step on board. She couldn't entrust herself to the pilot and the plane. Oh, she'd heard so much about the pilot and the plane that she believed. But when it came to depending, that was a different matter. But when it comes to salvation, you might know so much about the Lord Jesus. But what you need to do is recognize that what you know about the Lord Jesus is information to enable you to depend upon him, to trust in him. And what God wants you to do is to entrust your soul into the keeping of the Son of God. He's the one who can take you to heaven. Listen, this woman did not get on board the flight and she didn't reach the destination. And if you do not entrust your soul to Christ personally, you'll not get to heaven. There is a choice to be made. He that believes in the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now we're just going to conclude with a final little thought. There's tremendous certainty in this verse. It says, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. Now that's a promise. It's a promise from God, the God who cannot lie. And the promise is that when a person believes, they have everlasting. So that's a present blessing, a present possession. And so when a person depends upon Christ instantaneously, that person comes into the possession of eternal life. So it's a promised, present, permanent possession. It's eternal life. It'll never be taken away. It's something that the Savior himself has promised to give. So you could leave this little car park this afternoon with certainty, with assurance. You say, how is it then that I can be absolutely certain that I will escape the judgment that I deserve for the sins that I've committed and enter into heaven forever when I die? Well, the Bible says, simply, clearly, he, the individual, that believes, that depends upon the Son of God, the only Savior that God has provided, who has offered himself in sacrifice for our sins upon the cross and paid the price for our salvation, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. Now, there is another certainty in the verse, and we'll conclude with that. It says, he that believes not the Son, that is the person who refuses to depend upon him, shall not see life. Life will remain out of reach and out of sight to that person. But the wrath of God will abide, will remain upon them. That's a present and permanent reality for those who refuse to trust in Christ. Listen, the choice is clear. The contrast is clear. In the verse, the core of the message of the gospel is the Son of God, and you could leave this place rejoicing because your soul has been saved by him. You've only to trust him for yourself, to depend upon him. And the Bible says you'll have this wonderful blessing of eternal life. Now, thanks so much for taking the time to listen, and we just pray the Lord will bless his word to you. We'll pray now to conclude. Our Father, we are grateful for this time together and for thy precious word, and pray that thou wouldst use it to the enlightenment and blessing and salvation of some soul who's here gathered. We ask this in the Lord's precious name. Amen.